This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. There are two seats up for election next month on the Hamilton County Board of Commissioners. The current board is made up of two Republicans and one Democrat, but power could shift to the Democrats in November. That change could have an impact on everything from transit to social services in the county. Joining us this afternoon are two candidates for Hamilton County Commission, Republican Andrew Pappas, a small business owner who is in his third year serving as a trustee in Anderson Township, and Democrat Todd Portune, a practicing attorney who is currently serving in his fourth term on the Hamilton County Board of Commissioners. And Todd and Andrew, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
Pleasure to be here.
I want to start off with finding out what each of you think is the most pressing issue that Hamilton County faces and why you think it's the most pressing issue. And Andrew, let's start with you.
Oh, well, I think we'll agree that probably the most pressing issue facing Hamilton County right now is really MSD and how we're going to get that proverbial mess cleaned up. I mean, we're all faced with ever-increasing water and sewage rates, really sewage rates, and it really does kind of put Hamilton County at a disadvantage to the surrounding counties when we look to attract and keep businesses here. So I think there's no question, at least in my mind, the most pressing issue facing us right now is MSD and what that's going to look like after it's decided the path forward with how we're going to proceed with that from the commissioners. So I think Todd would agree with that.
Yeah. Let me ask you, what would you do? How would you handle this issue? What do you think needs to be done?
I'm at a little bit of an advantage here because Todd's restricted on what he can and can't say, and I respect that, so I'll take full advantage of it. But
why stop now?
You can see we have a cordial relationship. Mm-hmm. The truth of the matter is there needs to be one owner, one operator of MSD, and one person accountable to the voters and the rate payers. And for too long, you know, I understand that it was done a long time ago, but, you know, we have one person owning it, another person operating it. Well, they've benefited from pointing the fingers in different directions. And really, no one was accountable per se, no one directly. I think that needs to end, and there needs to be a clear line of accountability, and that would help spur the responsiveness to the rate payers.
Todd, do you agree it's MSD, or is there another issue you might have in mind?
Well, I do agree that the most pressing issue is MSD. It's plagued us for quite a while, and I personally have been working on trying to address this issue for quite a while. It's an issue for a variety of reasons. One, the rates that we are required to assess in order to meet this federal mandate of fixing up our sewers and complying with the Clean Water Act are out of control and are unaffordable to our ratepayers here in Hamilton County. They are a disincentive to businesses in wanting to expand or to stay or to relocate here. And our property owners, residents, and especially people on fixed incomes, so our seniors and others, are being pinched extraordinarily by the rates. I've been trying to address this issue for almost a decade, and it began back in 2007, one, by approaching then Cincinnati Mayor Mark Mallory and trying to get the city engaged to renegotiate or to put an early end to this 50-year hybrid agreement between the city and the county that works to no one's benefit and creates no accountability whatsoever. You've got to have a single entity that controls, that is the decision maker, so there's full transparency and accountability, and right now you don't have that under this hybrid. Second thing I did was I went to Washington and stood up to EPA and said that the way in which they're approaching this issue for us and for others in the nation is inappropriate. It's not using 21st century science, and it's costing local communities like ours way too much money. And that's been an ongoing fight, one where we are actually about to receive some relief in the form of the adoption of federal legislation that that I helped to draft in a bipartisan way with members of Congress. That will save us up to $1 billion on the sewer costs. But both those issues, the lack of accountability with respect to the district and leading to inefficient operations, and then the issue of rates and complying with this unfunded federal mandate are what make MSD the number one issue.
On another issue, the county's 2016 general fund budget is $207 million. The operating budget tops $1 billion. So, right. Funding county government is always a big concern. I'd like to know, and we'll start with you on this one, Todd, where each of you stand on increasing taxes or fees.
Well, I don't favor doing either in order to balance our budget. Quite the contrary. My program, if you will, or what I have favored in terms of addressing our budget needs have been to right-size county government. You saw us do that, especially the last time the Democrats had the majority, starting in 2007, when the recession really began to hit us. But going through the 4 years at the height of the recession, we downsized county government. We reduced the size of the government by over 1,500 employees. Funding was reduced by a third. We didn't make up that difference by raising taxes or doing any of that. That was inappropriate and it would have been now. But we worked very hard on government reforms, on shared services, on working to pool resources. I introduced zero-based budgeting. Regrettably, we don't do that now. That's one of the things that I would go back to if I had the privilege to serve in the majority again. But I have continued to raise this with our board since it got away from it. But we've got to control county spending through a variety of measures. And then, Mark, we've got to grow our revenues in the old-fashioned way, which is grow them through positive growth, positive business development in the county, increases in property values because of a positive rehab of our building structures, eliminating vacant and blighted property and things of that nature, but not to raise taxes or fees in order to balance the budget.
Andrew.
Well, I mean, surprisingly, we're going to be in agreement on that one. I am a small business owner, and I agree fully, a conservative Republican. And I'm not a big fan of raising taxes or fees to balance the budget. We have to make Hamilton County attractive for not only residents to live here, but businesses to locate here, and that would just not do it. That would drive people away from Hamilton County. We've focused in the township level. We've been hit harder than probably most local municipalities or government entities because the local government fund was slashed heavily by the state. And so we've been looking for ways to adapt and overcome and make do with less. And that's through things such as collaboration with other entities and townships and villages. And we've done that. And I would bring that experience and that mindset to the county government. Not saying that they haven't. I'm not suggesting that at all. But to say that I would expand it even further and look for ways, you know, I think sometimes when we look at the same problems with a different set of eyes and different perspectives, we come out with different solutions. And that's what I feel that I bring to the table, having a new set of eyes and maybe a small business perspective looking at government rather than a government perspective looking at ways to save money.
The heroin crisis reached a critical peak this summer with the number of overdoses skyrocketing. Andrew, what kind of a role do you see County Commission playing in fighting this huge problem?
You know, it struck close to home, as Todd knows, and he was gracious enough to acknowledge it before one of our last debates, or the second to last one. One of my employees that I saw go through high school overdosed after 13 months of being clean. As a matter of fact, I found out his girlfriend 2 days later did the same thing.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So, I mean, this strikes so very close to home. It hits all of us. And you know, I think the county can take the lead on trying to, and I think they're doing a good job. The Heroin Coalition is doing a good job, but I think they could, by trying to coordinate everyone's efforts together and bring light to the situation and the resources that are available out there to help people, because knowledge is the key. I mean, it truly is. And you know, the heroin epidemic is one of really treatment is what's going to solve this problem for people. I don't know that we're going to be able. As a matter of fact, I say we're never going to be able to lock up all the heroin users because we just don't have space for it, and that's not going to accomplish anything. We have to remove the demand for it, and that's through education. I mean, this health crisis, and it is something that we really need to get our hands on. I think, and the county can help in that regards by coordinating efforts of all the local entities and bringing, focusing attention on the situation and helping coordinate the response to this truly deadly crisis. And it affects, you know, I don't care what part of Hamilton County you're in, out of Hamilton County, this goes across every ethnic barrier, every demographic, everything, and everyone's affected by it. And it's something that we need to work every resources, county, local, township together, marching hand in hand, coordinating our efforts, not fighting each other, not duplicating efforts so that we're as efficient as possible and wipe this thing out.
You know, Mark, again, a lot of agreement on this issue. I think what I would add to the discussion about that, and there's no question, collaboration, pooling of resources, buy-in between all the local governments with the county in the lead has been one of the primary approaches required to date, and we have done all of that. County has been in the lead on this, and the county commission has played a primary and a lead role. But this is one of those instances, and this is not about balancing a budget, but this is one of those instances where perhaps we do need to figure out ways to get new revenues into the picture. Now, if you go back a decade ago, we had an opportunity to get ahead of the curve. Then Commissioner David Pepper and I introduced what was called the Countywide Community Public Safety Plan. It was all about repositioning our criminal justice system and our corrections operations with respect to low-level drug users, people who are addicted by drugs, heroin addicts, into a treatment mode and making sure that we had the facilities available, the staffing to those facilities, and the resources for the facilities that would allow us to transform our corrections operations into a detox treatment recovery methodology. And that would also work to save jail space at the jail for the really bad guys and occasionally gals who need to be in the jail because of those kinds of activities. That, unfortunately, in my opinion, was defeated about a decade ago. I don't know what Andrew's position was on that one way or the other, but I think it would have given us a leg up on the issue. And there were elements in that plan that are worthy of reconsideration today. Second, this can't just all fall on Hamilton County's shoulders. Yes, we are pooling resources with locals, but we need the cooperation of the state. We need to look at this as more of a regional issue where, at a minimum, the 8-county MSA of Butler, Warren, and Claremont in Ohio, Dearborn, Indiana, and Boone, Kent, and Campbell in northern Kentucky are all participating in this as well under a regional operation. And then last, I think the state could help us out a lot by declaring this as a public safety, public health emergency. Governor Kasich could do that. I know Denise Driehaus, who's running for commissioner, has raised that as an issue that she would try to call upon the governor to declare this as a public emergency that would allow us to bring in additional resources to help fight the problem as well. But it's a big issue. It's a priority. We've all got to coordinate, collaborate, and pool.
And since Todd raised it, what was your position on
that? Well, I mean, here's the issue with that. I mean, we have, you know, we're looking back now. Todd has the benefit of hindsight, which is 2020. But I don't think anyone saw the level or the magnitude that this heroin crisis was at that time or even as recently as a couple of years ago. I mean, when this first appeared, no one really – law enforcement had no idea it would be as addictive and as deadly as it's turned out to be. I mean, we're talking about one-time use and you're either hooked or dead. And that's a possibility. That's a real possibility. So at that time, you know, I'm not going to lie to you and say that I had the benefit of knowing now then what I know now, because obviously we do. So I don't know that my position at that time would have been for or against it. I'm not going to speculate on that. But I will say this. I think we have some facilities here that raise some interesting possibilities. I know Queensgate's sitting empty. And I have been a big advocate for looking into the possibility of perhaps turning that into some sort of treatment center. I believe – how many beds are at Queensgate? Is there
– oh, gosh.
800 or is it less than that?
How many?
800? I don't remember.
It was about 800. Yeah,
I think it's 800. So, I mean, you know, you're talking about a facility where it's controlled, yet you can provide treatment. And we could alleviate the crowding at the Justice Center for these people, for the really bad criminals that, unfortunately, it doesn't seem like we have the space for those folks. So we might be able to, you know, proverbially kill two birds with one stone if we had some funding from either the state or perhaps the feds, not sure, but it is a, you know, another question of funding. I will say this briefly. This does go across state lines. We had to expend resources in Anderson Township. A car rolled through from Kentucky just last week when I left one of our debates and was headed home, stopped in Anderson Township, four occupants, all four were overdosed. All four. Now, do you know who was arrested? only the driver for driving under the influence. The other three after Narcan, multiple doses of Narcan, were allowed to walk away. So, I mean, there's some legal issues as well that we might need to address that, you know, some of these laws that were passed, and it wasn't the Good Samaritan law, that dealt with something different, but the three people, the three occupants were allowed to leave. So there might be some legal questions or legal issues we need to address as well, because our sheriffs, Hamilton County sheriffs, were incensed by the fact that they couldn't arrest all four of these people.
Yeah, and I think on that point, the whole issue of immunity for turning in drugs and the like, Mark, has been discussed and proposed. Both the local judge as well as the sheriff have variations of that. My position on that, and I think Andrew agrees with this. If I'm misstating,
I'll correct you.
You'll correct me, I know. But is not that we should do just blanket immunity on these things. We don't want people to be afraid to call 911 if someone's overdosing or anything like that. But immunity should come with a catch, I believe, not jail time, not criminal charge, but you got to get enrolled into a treatment program to detox, treat, and recover. And you do that, then immunity would apply, in my opinion. And that could deal with the issue that Andrew raised about the four people in Anderson Township.
Yeah, I mean,
as well.
That's Todd, I agree. And I would say this, you know, the simple fact of the matter is, we need to address this if these people cooperate, get into a treatment facility or some sort of treatment. And also, how about turning in who we really want to find out is the dealers and make it so that it's so painful from a legal perspective that if you're caught dealing this stuff, we're going to throw the book at you and you're not going to want to sell it. I mean, that's supply and demand in my mind. So the fact that we had a car full of four people that were issued multiple doses of Narcan, yet we could only arrest one person for driving under the influence, doesn't make sense to me.
I'd like to move on to another question here. Right now, the Hamilton County Commission is two Republicans and one Democrat. Now, this election has the potential to shift the balance to two Democrats and one Republican.
Or all three Republicans.
Well, yeah. In that case... He had to get that in. I'd like to get both of your thoughts.
But note he was laughing when he said it.
I'd like to get your thoughts, though, from each of you. What you think would be the impact of such a shift? Andrew, let's start with you.
Well, I would be lying if I wasn't say I was. I would be concerned if the Democrats got control of Commissioner Board. I think there'd be a shift in your priorities. I think you'd see an extension of maybe some of the priorities that the city of Cincinnati has run by Democrats extended countywide. And it'd become the greater Cincinnati, necessarily metropolitan county rather than Hamilton County with the city of Cincinnati within it. I am happy and pleased with some of the direction that the Republican-controlled commissioner board has taken over the last several years. And I feel that, you know, I'd like to see that continue. Now, obviously, Todd's going to be on the other side of that issue, and that's fine. But that's the reason I got into this race, is to try to make sure that the Republicans or my party can retain control of Commissioner Board.
You know, I began with the premise that I represent all the people of Hamilton County. And I've been effective from the position of the minority. I've been effective from the position of being in the majority. And the reality is that I have been the idea person on the county commission. You look, starting with the mandate I received when I first got elected of introducing controls with county spending under a unanimous Republican majority at the county, I might add, that was out of control regarding the Bengals stadium and things of that nature. We introduced all those controls, got spending under control, Reds Ballpark on time, under budget, as has been every other county project since then. And what I bring to the table is the belief that we do have to do more with less. And so I look at every issue, whether it's convention center expansion, where everybody wanted to just expand the Duke Center. My idea was to let's figure out a way to fund it so we expand not just the Duke Center, but the Sharonville Center and figure out a way to increase tourism business countywide. And that's the plan we did, and that's what we're doing. I brought the land bank to the county. I brought reforms to SORTA and the Port Development Authority to the county. Today, we are finally reducing infant deaths babies that die before their first birthday, where we had one of the worst rates in the world because of an initiative that I've raised that is not only doing that, but it's increasing access to health care and helping to address maternal and infant health care at the same time. Those ideas are what I bring to the table. And so you don't need a fresh face or a new face just to generate good ideas. What, you know, a Democratic majority, I think what you would see is we would get things done quicker that we need to do. You know, all these issues that I've raised, Mark, and other things like improving our emergency management agency and our emergency warning system, our Homeland Security, those elements, or the home improvement program that has leveraged over $50 million in saving the aging housing stock of the county, those issues took a lot longer than they needed to, because the initial Republican response to me raising these issues was not to embrace them, not to do them. There are things we had to do. There are things we needed to do. But regrettably, politics were introduced into considering them, and we had delays in doing things that were right and the right thing to do. So, you know, I think that's what you're going to see, is we're going to be doing a lot more of the stuff that we have to do and getting it done quicker. And, you know, Andrew will say, well, you know, the other thing is taxes. Well, the last tax increase that happened at the county was the two Republicans putting on a tax on utilities to pay for an essential county service. I led the repeal effort on that and got it repealed.
Andrew, go ahead if you want to respond.
Where do I start? I mean, Todd, the question was, is, you know, is how would the board change if Democrats gain control? And for example, I know that Denise is a big fan of responsible bidder, and I know that alone is one of the main things that people are concerned about when we're talking about all this work that's facing us with MSD. And the waterworks. And if that goes through, you're going to see the budget blown out of the water, because responsible bidder is going to add a lot of cost to these projects. I would say that I think that sometimes in government, Todd said that some of these projects or some of these ideas would be enacted quicker. I think that's what you said. You know, government sometimes, rather than just throwing money at a problem, should also pause and look at the best way to spend. Throwing money at an issue is not necessarily a solution. You have to throw smart money at a solution. So I think that the pause that the Republican-controlled board has shown by looking at the ICON tax that was done for, you know, the center here, that was something that was fought over, and they caught a lot of flack about not including Music Hall with that. But look, that's getting done on its own. And at the end of the day, the pause actually worked out better, because both projects are being done without public support on both. So I would say that although I just have great concern about seeing Hamilton County shift to Democrat control, this isn't personal. This is just a difference in ideology between Todd and myself. We do actually get along quite well at events. We don't come to blows or anything like that. We just have a different ideology.
Yeah, Mark, a quick response, if I can. You know, and on that last point, Andrew is correct in terms of the civil nature of this campaign, and you know,
it's been fun.
It has been. Fun is a word that demands a definition, but I'm not the attorney here. Yeah, it's not been – it certainly has not been what we see on the presidential level or anywhere close to that.
Not yet.
No. Two things. The responsible bidder issue, a unanimous county has been against that legislation that the city introduced, including me. And I've made my position very, very clear on that. That legislation is not going to get reintroduced. It's not going to get done. So that's really a red herring in this campaign. The things that have taken way too long have not always involved funding either. And so this issue of a responsible pause to look at things is not something that applies over my service. So what's good? What I think the big difference is this: one, good ideas that we know that need to be addressed are going to be addressed in a more reasonable time frame than they have been. There's a lot of stuff, especially with respect to business investment, that needs to be done. Second, we have a major difference in philosophy. Andrew's position is largely that government is the problem, and he wants less government in everything. you know, I don't view government as being evil. I think that there is a proper role for government to play, and we've got to be judicious in where it applies. But government serves a very good and valid purpose in the provision of services,
and,
which are what counties are all about.
My apologies, Todd. We're about out of time. So what I want to let you do is I want to give each of you about 30 seconds.
All I had was that last sentence to finish.
Okay. Well, you got 30. You got 30 seconds to do it in, Todd. So final thoughts.
Well, okay. Final thoughts in 30 seconds. This is an important election, and I'm very grateful for the privilege to have been able to serve. I ask for the voters' support again. I think now is not the time to change horses in midstream on addressing the very important issues. You don't need a new face to get fresh ideas, as I've proven throughout my service. I'm endorsed by the Cincinnati Inquirer, Cincinnati Police, Cincinnati Fire, business organizations, as well as labor. And I bring a very balanced perspective. I ask for everyone's support to continue to serve this November 8th.
Andrew.
What, do I have 10 seconds?
No, you've got as much time as Todd just took. So
That was pretty good, Andrew.
I know. For Todd, that's actually pretty good. But I will say this. Look, I think that with all due respect, Todd has been in office a long time, and I feel that the time is now for bringing an outside perspective to county government. I mean, for too long, we've continued to elect politicians and expect them to solve our problems. We elect the same people and expect different results, and I think that's almost madness. I think that now is a great time to elect a small business owner, somebody with small business experience, which knows what small business is going through, that can represent the interests of small business in the county. And that's me. I've proven it. I've been a successful small business owner for over 20 years here in Cincinnati. I know what it's like to meet a budget, meet a payroll, manage employees, and run a business. And I know the concerns. So I ask for your support. It's time for a change, and I think I bring that change to county government.
Andrew and Todd, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hamilton County Commission candidates Andrew Pappas and Todd Portoon. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition. Archives of our programs are available at WVXU.org. The producer for today's show was Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer was Belinda Kai. Dave Shermer was the technical director. I'm Mark Haney. Stay tuned for Here and Now, up next on 91.7 WVXU. On the next Cincinnati Edition, we'll discuss the events that are affecting our region. This week, we'll look at Kentucky political races and the stories taking place in northern Kentucky. We'll also get an update on the trial of Ray Tenzing and the death of Sam Dubose. And we invite you to ask questions and share your opinions about this week's news. Join us on the next Cincinnati Edition for our weekly news review, Friday afternoon at 1 on 91.7 WVXU.